Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the longest-serving independent member of Congress, Senator Bernie Sanders, and discuss the all-nighter he and 28 senators are about to engage in all Monday night on the Senate floor, ending at 9 a.m. Tuesday, in an effort to raise awareness and confront the reality of climate change. Senator Sanders is the chair of the Veterans Affairs Committee and was recently interviewed by John Nichols at The Nation in an article, "Bernie Sanders, I am prepared to run for President of the United States." Then, with Russian propaganda ramping up to a fever pitch, inventing claims that the new Ukrainian government is oppressing Russian-speaking Ukrainians in the East, we will speak with the chair of Ukrainian Studies at the University of Toronto, Paul Magoshi, to find out whether Putin is laying the groundwork for an invasion of eastern Ukraine. The author of The Roots of Ukrainian Nationalism and the forthcoming Crimea and the Crimean Tatars, Paul Magoshi, researches nationalism, in particular among ethnic groups living in border areas, and he will describe the new government in Ukraine that Putin is demonizing. Then finally, we'll be joined by Princeton historian Julian Zelizer, the author of Governing America, The Revival of Political History, and discuss his latest article at CNN, Obama May Hate the Midterm Results. We'll discuss recent polls that indicate that the Republicans are likely to take back the Senate and hold the House in November's midterm elections, and what strategies Obama and the Democrats can employ this year to buck the historical trend that had Presidents Wilson, FDR, Eisenhower, Reagan, and George W. Bush all suffering reversals in their second terms, hastening their lame duck status. And joining us now is Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. Senator Sanders was elected to the U.S. Senate in 2006 after serving 16 years in the House of Representatives. He is the longest-serving independent member of Congress in American history and is the chair of the Veterans Affairs Committee. Senator Sanders was recently interviewed by John Nichols at The Nation in an article, "Bernie Sanders, I am prepared to run for President of the United States." Welcome to Background Briefing, Senator Sanders.
Good to be with you.
And Senator, you and a group of 28 senators are about to pull an all-nighter Monday night in the United States Senate. You're going to be taking to the floor all night long talking about climate change. It does strike me as a little odd in the most powerful nation on earth, in many ways a leading nation on earth, that you have to strike a blow against anti-intellectualism and stand up for rationality, reason, logic, science, and truth.
Well, you're right. It is a very sad and distressing moment when, in fact, you have to fight for an issue that the overwhelming majority of scientists have long agreed upon. There is no longer in the scientific community a debate about whether climate change is real, about whether it is man-made, about whether it is already causing devastating harm to the United States and to the entire planet. It is extremely sad that we have virtually every member of the Republican Party not only refusing to act on this information, but even to accept what the scientific community is telling us. And it really speaks to a very dangerous anti-science mentality.
But apparently, lately, the Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid, has taken to the floor and talked about the pernicious influence of the Koch brothers in American politics. They're targeting a lot of Democrats in this November election. And a part of their agenda, not only do they fund climate change denial, but they want to replace these senators with senators who will go along with their polluting strategy.
Well, it's more than climate change for the Koch brothers. The Koch brothers and other members of the billionaire class, and these guys, the Koch brothers themselves, are worth some $80 billion. They're the second wealthiest family in America. And just in the last year, their wealth increased in 1 year by $12 billion. And what these guys are doing is not only pouring an unbelievable sum of money into elections and into political consultants and into the whole political process, they are funding many, many organizations out there to try to shape public consciousness in an extreme right-wing way. And Ian, we should be very, very clear, and it's not just climate change, what these guys believe in. These guys want to do away with Social Security. They want to do away with Medicare. They want to do away with Medicaid. They do not even believe in the concept of the minimum wage, so that if they had their way, people in this country could be working for $3 or $4 an hour. They want to get rid of agencies of government like the environmental protection agencies, which are trying to keep our air, water, and land clean. They want large corporations and the wealthy to be paying even less in taxes than they are right now. So these guys are funding a massive effort on the part of the wealthy and the powerful to cut virtually every program that the middle class and working families need and to enrich the wealthiest people in this country who are already doing phenomenally well.
Well, in your interview with John Nichols in The Nation, you talked about America being ready for a political revolution. It seems that striking a blow tonight, as the senators are, for reason and rationality and science, you are taking a stand, and I'm wondering whether this is going to be a sustaining movement here in terms of this election year.
Well, you know, as I define, you know, a political revolution, what that means is not just what happens here in Washington, D.C., what it happens is all over the United States of America at the grassroots level. Ian, what's going on in America today, as I think most listeners know, is the middle class of this country is disappearing. Despite huge increases in productivity and technology, we now have more people living in poverty than any time in American history. Real unemployment is not 6.7%. It is close to 13%. Youth unemployment close to 20%. And in the midst of all of that, while the average person is struggling in an almost unprecedented way in modern history, the people on top are doing incredibly well. And what that means is that in terms of distribution of wealth, you have the top 1% owning 38% of the wealth and the bottom 60% owning all of 2.3% of the wealth. And in terms of income, about 95% of all new income in recent years is going to the top 1%. What a political revolution means is that the tens and tens of millions of people who are working longer hours for lower wages, who are finding it impossible to send their kids to college or get decent child care for their children, that those folks begin to stand together to make it clear that we need an economy that works for all of our people and not just the 1%, and that we need a political system which is not dominated by the Koch brothers and other billionaires.
Again, I'm speaking with Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, who was elected to the U.S. Senate in 2006 after serving 16 years in the House of Representatives. He's the longest-serving independent member of Congress in American history and the chair of the Veterans Affairs Committee. Senator Sanders was recently interviewed by John Nichols at The Nation in an article, "Bernie Sanders, I am prepared to run for president of the United States." Well, our history indicates, Senator Sanders, that we go through these ebbs and flows between progressive eras and reactionary eras, where the original Gilded Age was followed by the progressive era, and then the Roaring Twenties, and then another plutocratic age, and then the economy crashed, and then you had a progressive era under FDR, and then through, I guess, from 47 to 77, we had pretty much a social democracy in the United States. And then with Reagan, they managed to roll back middle class and working American gains to this new plutocratic age we're in now. But these ebbs and flows, to my mind, don't happen by some sort of almost divine motion. I think, don't these times require leadership? It doesn't just happen automatically that people wake up one day and say, I'm sick of the status quo and I want a revolutionary change.
Well, leadership is terribly important. And I think one of the crises that we face now is the average American is hurting economically, is disgusted with what's going on politically. The average family is a lot of pain, and I think they're not understanding. No one is explaining to them why what's happening. Why is it happening? I mean, a simple question: how does it happen that when we see a huge increase in productivity, the middle class declines, and people are working longer hours for lower wages? Common sense would suggest an increase in productivity would mean increased wealth for all Americans. That's not happening. And I think what has not been made clear to the American people is the nature of class warfare in America. And I use those words in advisedly. What has been going on now for a number of years is that the people on top, people like the Koch brothers, who are worth billions, apparently believe that having, in their case, $80 billion is just not enough. And they need more. And in order to get more, they're willing to continue their attacks against low-income kids, against people who are hungry, against unemployed workers, against workers who are making minimum wage. And that's called class warfare. And our job is to educate the American people and to organize, because at the end of the day, very few people believe in the Koch brothers' ideology that we give more tax breaks to billionaires and you cut Social Security, cut Medicare, cut Medicaid, do away with the concept of the minimum wage, make college more expensive for working families. Very few people believe that. And our job is to bring together the vast majority of the people who are hurting economically, bring together, as we talked about earlier, people who are terribly concerned about the implications of climate change, bring together those people who understand that the United States today is the only country in the industrialized world not to guarantee health care to all people, to understand that we have the highest rate of childhood poverty of any major country. Our job is to reach out, bring people together around a progressive economic agenda and say to the Koch brothers and the other billionaires, you know what, you are not going to continue to run this country for your own benefits. We're going to have a government that works for everybody.
And Senator Sanders, in terms of the Nation article, I am prepared to run for president of the United States. There's obviously a big difference being prepared to run and making preparations to run.
Right. And all that I said, and what I mean by that, is that I think it is terribly important, Ian, that we have a serious discussion about the very, very serious problems facing our country. And if people are not prepared to run for office to represent the working class of this country, to represent the middle class of this country, to fight for a progressive agenda, I'm there and I'm ready to do that. I don't wake up every day saying, you know, I have to be president of the United States. It is an impossible job. A campaign would require raising just unbelievable sums of money, which, you know, in my case would not be all that easy. But what I am saying is somebody has got to raise these issues. The great middle class cannot of this country cannot be allowed to disappear. We cannot continue to have so many of our kids living in poverty without an opportunity. And we cannot continue to allow this country to move to an oligarchic form of society where so few have so much and so many have so little. And these people on top, they're not just content with their wealth. They are now, to an unprecedented level, exercising political power. What the Koch brothers and Sheldon Adelson and these other guys are prepared to do is spend hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars, to elect the president of the United States, to elect senators, to elect governors. And that is not the American democracy that most of us grew up believing in. That's called oligarchy, and that has got to change.
But if you were, for example, on the debates in the primaries, as we've seen before, to some extent, Dennis Kucinich played the role of pushing the Democratic debate to the left towards the sort of more towards the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party, as is often said. Your presence in a debate with other candidates would have that effect. How are you going to, you're an independent, how could you get into that debate? Because that's where I think you could really make a difference.
Well, that's an excellent question that I haven't resolved in my own mind yet. One thing, and it will require a whole lot of discussion with people all over this country, and what you're really raising is the question of whether one runs as an independent outside of the two-party system or runs within the Democratic Party. And that's just going to have to be a discussion that we'll be having with a lot of folks. But at the end of the day, what is most important to me is, number one, that important issues which now are not being discussed are placed at the forefront of political discourse. Is the United States going to have a middle class or is it not? Are we going to tolerate this growing gap between the very, very rich and everybody else? Are we going to tolerate 22% of our kids, a situation where 22% of our kids are living in poverty? Are we going to be the only country in the industrialized world without health care for all, et cetera, et cetera? And the second point that I would make in terms of your question is I will not play the role of helping to elect some right-wing Republican as president. That I will not do. So, you know, there's a lot to be discussed. It's still quite early in the process. We've got a congressional election coming up in 2014 that I hope to be active in, expect to be active in. But, you know, that you've raised an important question.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us, Senator Sanders. I do hope that we can see you in this debate. And I understand the system is rigged against third parties, so it's a complicated path ahead. But I hope, I hope we see you in those debates.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Take care.
You too. Again, I've been speaking with Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, who was elected to the United States Senate in 2006 after serving 16 years in the House of Representatives. He is the longest-serving independent member of Congress in American history and is the chair of the Veterans Affairs Committee. Senator Sanders was recently interviewed by John Nichols at The Nation in an article, "Bernie Sanders, I am prepared to run for President of the United States." We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back discussing whether Russian propaganda is laying the groundwork for an invasion of eastern Ukraine.